this afternoon. Turning to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And as I was looking this over this afternoon, I felt impressed to read all six verses again. I say, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Last week we looked at the first of, shall we say, seven reasonings why Paul is admonishing the Ephesian church to be in unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. We looked at the first reason, one body. There's only one body, as he was talking to the Ephesian church. They were one body, the body of Christ. Grace Baptist Church is one body, the body of Christ. There's not two bodies. There's not 12 bodies. There may be 12 members, but there's one body. You see. And therefore, given that reasoning, therefore there ought to be unity. There ought to be oneness in the body, he said. This week, he goes on, there is one Spirit. Just as we discussed with the body, there are many different kinds of churches. There are many spirits. There are many evil spirits. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter 4. In verse 1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. There are many spirits. They're not all of God. Many evil spirits. And we're told to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. If they're of God, it's one spirit. They are directed by that one spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, which is one with the Father and with the Son. Chapter 5 of the same book, 1 John, in verse 7, he said, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which we know to be Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." There's only one Spirit mentioned here. One Holy Spirit. And He, that one Spirit, the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, gives oneness and unity to the Lord's churches. Again, going with me back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And read in verses 4 through 11. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differing gifts, but one and the same Spirit gave those differing gifts. We said there. And there are differences of administrations, that is, differences is the same word as diversities. There's just differences. There's differences of administration, different ministries. Yeah, that stands to reason. If there are different gifts, then there's different ministries to which those gifts minister to, you see. But the same Lord. Oh, he shifts from Spirit to Lord. Well, remember, they're all one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One. There's one Lord. And the same Lord, the same Spirit that gives those differing gifts, gives those differing ministries to be ministered to. You see, the Lord, one Lord. And there are diversities of operations. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man proper withal. In those gifts, differing gifts given, it is the manifestation of the Spirit of God working together for the ministries, the operations of this body. Just as one God created this human body, gave this human body different members to minister to different ministries in this body, but one God gave it for the work of the unity of this body, a unity of the body of Christ, the oneness of the body of Christ. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's one and same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The one and same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. You see, he clarifies it there. That one and the selfsame Spirit, the Spirit Himself, dividing to every man severally, and as He will. Not as Brother Ron wills. Not as Brother Bourne wills. But as the Spirit wills. You see. Verse 27 then. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. But one Spirit. One Holy Spirit of God. Of which we all, that one Spirit, we have been given life, and we all have been set in this body. You see. So, there is but one Spirit. We're told in the book of John, chapter 4, and verse 24, that God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is a Spirit. So we're talking about the Spirit of God today. There's one Spirit that is of God. And He's the one that every church, and when I say every church, I'm saying every church member, ought to be concerned with. Is it of the Spirit of God? We say, is something God's will? Well, if it's of the Spirit of God, it's His will. And how do we know whether it's the Spirit of God, whether it's His will, and whether it's the Spirit of God? Does it go contrary to this? If it's contrary to this, it's not the Spirit of God, and if it's not the Spirit of God, then it's not His will. You see. Now, and that's another message in itself. But there's one Spirit. He give us. This is not the first time He give us this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 18. He said, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Holy Spirit that we have access to the Father. What is He saying there? It is the Spirit of God that has quickened us and made us alive, has set us in this body, and we all, whether Jew or Gentile, have access now to the throne of grace, to the Spirit of God. We have access to Him. Verse 22, he said, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." You see, he says the church is builded together as a habitation of God. And how are we built? Well, if it's His kind of body, we're built through His Spirit. Through the Spirit. See, many spirits? No, not one Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. You see, in some secular organizations that call themselves churches, there's several different spirits in them. But are they governed by the Spirit of God? Are they builded by the Spirit of God? Are they a habitation of God through the Spirit of God? Well, not. Not if it's contrary to this. You see. Now, compare that with what we have over here in Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 19. "Go ye therefore, church, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." How many spirits there? There's only one. Church, there's only one Spirit. There's one body, one kind, that is the Lord's kind, a body. And there's one Spirit that is leading, guiding, and directing that body, the Spirit of God. What happens? Seeing as we're talking about unity, and these things are representative of the oneness that ought to be, seeing as we're talking about that, what happens when there's disunity? Still only one Spirit, but there's so many other spirits that have gotten in the way. Right? My spirit didn't agree with your spirit, and so we got at odds. That's not the will of the one Spirit. That's not the will of the Holy Spirit. Well, they saw it in verse 3, that it's the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit only leads in unity. In oneness. So, those evil spirits that we read about in 1 John chapter 4, those spirit of Antichrist, got in the way and caused disunity in the body of Christ, where there ought to be oneness, because that's what the Spirit of God is promoting. You see. There is but one Spirit. One Spirit who convinces of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. The book of John. The book of John, chapter 16 and verse 8. He said, and when He has come, that is the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. When He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, Jesus is going to said He's going to, toward His church, He's going to send the Spirit. The Spirit is here. The Spirit has come. And it is only one Spirit that reproves of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. My Spirit doesn't reprove of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Your Spirit doesn't reprove men of righteousness, of sin, of righteousness and judgment. It's only the Spirit of God. One Spirit. And this Spirit, the Spirit of God, reproves, convinces of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. All that come to Christ, how do they come? They come by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Do they not? He woos them. He draws them. Turn with me. We're in John. John chapter 6. And look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the coming to Christ that he's talking about. How do you come to Christ? How do you see him and believe on him? How does that take place? Do I just come? Because I think it's necessary to come? Do I just exercise belief? And therefore am? How does that take place? Well, these whom he was talking to didn't really understand it either, did they? Look at verse 63. And he begins to try to make it clearer to them. And only through this will it be made clear to them. In verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that gives life. What Spirit? Your Spirit? My Spirit? The Spirit of God. The will of God. The will of the Father, the will of the Son. Jesus in another place talks about the Father quickeneth. And the Son also quickeneth whom he will. Well, yeah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They all quicken whom the Father wills that they come to him. All that the Father wills come to him. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. What did Jesus say there when he said that? There's some of you that the Spirit has not quickened. There's some of you that the Spirit has not made alive. That the Spirit of God, my Spirit, he said, had not made alive. His Spirit's the Spirit of God, is it not? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're one. It's a Spirit. God's a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we're told in the book of Ephesians, which we've been studying, and you hath He quickened. We say that has reference to God. Yeah, God the Spirit. It has reference to. And you had He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, the Spirit's wooing. The Spirit makes alive. Well, how does that take place? The gospel is preached. The gospel is proclaimed. We go forth and we preach the gospel. And as we preach the gospel, it's the general call that goes out. And it, if we're talking to many, it may be all under the sound of our voice. That general call goes forth. And the Holy Spirit gives forth the effectual call. That call with power, with an irresistible power that draws. And it does that to whomsoever He will. It's the Spirit of God. You see, turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans in chapter 8. Now, what do you know about Romans chapter 8? What do I know about Romans chapter 8? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as he goes on down through this chapter, what's the subject? He's talking about the Spirit. The Spirit leading and manifesting the Spirit's leading in your life. Manifesting that you're walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And he's talking about the Spirit. So, and he says in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit. The Spirit of God searches our hearts, and so the Spirit takes that. Makes intercession according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Talking about God. Talking about the Spirit of God. God is a Spirit. We're talking about His Spirit. We're talking about His Holy Spirit. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also corn. God's a spirit. He predestinated. And those whom He predestinated, what did you do? He called them. How did He call them? By His Spirit. That is that a general call there? No, if that were a general call, everyone under the sound of my preaching of the gospel, when I preach to people out here the gospel, all would come. So it can't be a general call, can it? He's talking about the effectual call. They're called effectually. They're called in power. They're called and drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. You see. Them He also called, and whom He called, and them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Wow. Wonderful, isn't it? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that there? Who called? God. His Spirit. His Spirit called you. The Holy Spirit of God called you. How? By the gospel. By the preaching of the gospel. When the gospel was preached, the Holy Spirit of God called you. You couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist it that day, and furthermore, I was at the point I didn't want to resist it. Who made the difference? Did I make the difference that day? It wasn't me that made the difference. The difference was the Holy Spirit of God made the difference. He awakened me to my lost condition and the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I repented toward God of my sin and had faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I received Him as my Lord and Savior that day. But you see what had the first effect? The first cause was God. The Spirit of God calling me to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. You see, God. Well, who's God? He's a Spirit. And He's one Spirit. Not many. One. One that is omnipotent. That is omniscient. That is omnipresent. That is sovereign. Does as He pleases. In heaven and in earth. And who can say unto Him, why have You made me thus? Not a one of us. The word called, get this, the word called is never in the epistle of the New Testament applied to those who have only the outward invitation of the gospel. The word called is always applied to those who have the outward invitation of the gospel, and by the drawing power of the Spirit of God, they come. They are called. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. In verse 14, for many are called, but what? But few are chosen. You see, there are many that hear the gospel preached, but only the chosen of God respond through the quickening of the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit of God only moves on those who were chosen before the Father and predestinated before the foundation. Oh, there we go back to Romans 8:30. You see. So this word called, whenever we see it in the epistles, it is always means called internally, called by the power of the Spirit of God, effectually and savingly called, always. It expresses the divine authorship and the sovereign power by which we're summoned. We're called. We're summoned to salvation. Look with me in a very familiar example, one that we refer to often, in the book of John, in chapter 3, in verse 8, concerning his discourse with Nicodemus and concerning being born again, must be born of the Spirit and then of water. The Word, the Gospel. The Spirit goeth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Ah. Last few days, been able to know the wind was blowing out there. Could hear the sound of it sometimes in the trees. Because it rustled the leaves. But canst not tell whence it cometh. In other words, where it came from. You know, sometimes I step out here and I think, oh, the wind is out of the east. Oh, well then I come to find out it's not out of the east at all. It's coming from the south and doing a swirling motion. And bringing in across the east. It's not out of the east. Sometimes it appears to be out of the north. As yesterday and today. Only it's not out of the north at all. There again, we got that swirling motion going on. It just, depending where the low is at, it's out of the south and bringing it in from the north. Or out at the east and bringing it in from the north. We can't tell where it come from. And we can't tell where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, he likened the work of the Holy Spirit of God to that of the wind. You can't see where the Spirit come from, and you can't see where the Spirit's going. You can only see the effects of the Spirit of God. That's what we're talking about in the word called. It's an effectual call. The Holy Spirit of God made it effectual in their hearts and lives. And I assume that every one of you sitting here today that are saved by God's grace, the Holy Spirit of God has made it effectual to you. If He didn't, you're not saved. I got news for you. If the Holy Spirit of God didn't make it effectual, you're not saved. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens. The Spirit of God quickens. There's one Spirit that is of God. And He works in power to accomplish His will, not the will of man. You see. And so John chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus again says, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day." How are we drawn? By the Spirit of God. The wooing or the drawing of the Spirit of God. The making alive. We that were dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 65, He said it a little differently. He said it like this. And He said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come." But He still declares, "No man can come unto Me except it were given unto him of My Father." And who's God? Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that quickens, verse 63. The Spirit that quickens. The flesh, it'll profit you nothing. Well, we got through the Spirit today. Therefore, there ought to be unity. That's what He's saying. He admonishes us in verse 3 of our text to be in unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. There's one body. Therefore, there ought to be unity. There's one Spirit. Therefore, there ought to be unity. You see. All right. We'll stop there today. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother Harold, would you dismiss?